Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who just takes 5 hours a week to vent about stuff on a podcast, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast after episode number 13 here of Survivor HHH. And we have a great show today because I am going to be joined by the winner of Survivor Cambodia, aka Second Chances. I'm very excited to have Jeremy Collins back here on the podcast. We actually haven't talked to Jeremy in a little bit. It's been about a year and a half since Jeremy's been on the podcast. We talked to him right around this time in the season in Survivor Koh Rong. So that was Survivor 32. So it's been 3 seasons since we've had Jeremy on. So I'm excited to catch up with him on everything going on and hear his take on everything that we've seen through 13 episodes of Survivor 35. So much going on in the world of the podcast. We've got Mike Bloom coming up on the feedback show. That's going to be over the weekend. Survivor Know-It-Alls is up. Had a great conversation with Steven about all of this. And my exit interview with Ashley Nolan is up on robhasawebsite.com. Subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Before we get to Jeremy, let me quickly thank one of our sponsors for this episode, and those are our friends over at Omaha Steaks. What a great gift idea Omaha Steaks is for anybody that's still left on your holiday shopping list. You know, once upon a time, Jeremy Collins once played Survivor with a man who was a meat collector. And for all the meat collectors in your life, Omaha Steaks is a fantastic gift. I have given and received Omaha Steaks as a gift. Everything comes to your house in an ice cold refrigerated box. All of those great meats, tender aged beef, seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, you name it. We've got a great offer for the listeners of the podcast. For only $49.99, you can get that family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the promo code Rob in the search bar for a 75% offer. All of the meats are aged 21 days to unlock the full flavor of the cuts, hand trimmed, vacuum sealed. Check out everything that they've got over there on omahasteaks.com. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to our listeners. Listen to everything you'll get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins. This is like a reward challenge. 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa. Sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free. You don't even have to pick like one person and get everybody else mad at you. You can send it to as many different people as you want. There's no limitations. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code Rob in the search bar, get a 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. And to check out this offer and any other offer that we have right now for the holidays from our sponsors, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/gifts or click the banner for the gifts homepage in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. All right, I'm very excited to have this man with us back here on the podcast to talk about everything going on here in Survivor 35. He is the 2-time Survivor player, winner of Survivor Second Chances, and star of Candy Crush, Jeremy Collins. Jeremy, how are you?
What's up, Rob? What's going on?
Yeah. Candy Crush. Yes. No, we're not here to talk about Candy Crush, Jeremy.
No, we are not, because that did not end well for me.
Oh, Sugar Crush. Jeremy, it's been, I mean, I set up at the top of the show that it's been like a year and a half since I talked to you. And let me officially say to you, congratulations on baby number 4, Lennox. Oh,
Lennox, my guy. That's my guy right there. Listen, you should have told me about these boys, because my girls were fine.
Yeah.
Like, my girls are easy. Boys are so stupid, first of all. Like, I didn't think I was this stupid when I was a kid, but I tell you what, like girls, my daughter, if you leave a pair of scissors down on the floor, my dogs are like, oh, daddy, here's some scissors. Like, Like, if Remy finds scissors, he wants to play tag or something. Like, mm-hmm. this dude's crazy. I'm like, what are you? He jumps from couch to couch, lands on his head. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, like, boys are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, why did you tell me about
that? You guys are so dumb.
Yes, they are.
So you have this amazing story where, so you have your two daughters, and that's Jordan and Cameron, right? And yep. and then there's a big age gap. And now you guys have these, because when you guys had Remy, that was like 2 months after we had Anthony. And then you have yeah. another baby boy after that. So you have like the two pairs of the two girls that are older and the two boys that are babies. And I'm so jealous of you because you have all of that in-house babysitting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. OK. You think so? These girls are so busy. They do whatever they want. Like, they're in and out of this house. They're gone. I stayed in the house all day today with two boys crying and chasing after the other one. It's ridiculous. I wish you told me something. Like, someone should have told me.
What do I know? I don't know anything.
You have two boys.
By the time I had a second one, it was too late to say anything. You already had one was like coming in like 6 weeks. I mean, I probably would have said, two in such a short period of time. But I figure you know better. I mean, I've been through this before.
Obviously, I do not know better than that. Yeah. I should have known.
Jeremy, are you thinking about reaching out to Dr. Mike about scheduling a vasectomy now?
Too late.
All right. Somebody beat it to the punch. Okay, good.
I have a guy already. I don't need Dr. Mike. And the way Dr. Mike's playing, I'm not sure I really want him anywhere near me.
All right, we're gonna get to Survivor. Let me ask you one other question. So you have baby Lennox now, and mm-hmm. his name is Lenyx, and I see that you have Remy with a Y, and then Jordan and Cameron are with a Y. Can I ask you, is there a significance to why you have a Y in all these baby names?
Why not?
Why not? But is there a reason, or is that thing?
So my name has a Y. Val's real name is Valise. And so she has a Y. And so we had Jordan and then Cameron. And actually, after those two, Remy came along and everything just kind of worked out. Like, we wanted the Y in Jordan and Cameron because it just looks kind of different. And they're the girls and everything. And actually, Val didn't want Lennox to have a Y in it. And we were going through all these different names and everything. So I said, are you going to be the one to tell him that he's different than the rest of us? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said, I just felt like he has to have a Y. So that wasn't even going to be his name at the beginning. And we had a ton of other names and we were going through it. And then it just turned out like that was it. She said it was her turn to say her turn to come up with the name, mm-hmm. you know, because I came up with Jordan and then she came up with Cameron. I came up with Remy and then it was her turn.
Yeah.
And it just worked out. Like I said, he has to have a Y in it. So whatever you pick, we have to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's really cool and really nice that you guys have some. We don't really have anything like that. We weren't thinking ahead, but maybe we'll figure something out by the time we get to 3 and 4.
Is that in the plans?
Jeremy, come on. You know that. And this is how good of a friend that Jeremy is, because that we were so miserable when Anthony was born. Jeremy was so nice and asking about how we're doing and everything. And we were that he just did not sleep. He cried all night. It was like the worst time that we had. Jeremy was a very sympathetic ear during that time.
Yeah. And I you know what? I need that ear from you now, because every night I have to get up and go get Remy out of his crib every single night. 2 o'clock in the morning. And then he won't go to sleep.
Not even the baby.
No, the baby sleeps in our room still. Yeah. He has a little bassinet next to the bed and Val will take him and mm-hmm. she's feeding him all throughout the night. But I have to go get Remy, and then Remy comes in my bed and he will not go back to sleep unless he's sleeping right next to me. And then he's takes over my bed. I have this little sliver of bed left mm-hmm. and it drives me crazy. If I move, he takes over that space. Like, I'm like, how do you even, you're supposed to be sleeping. How do you take over my space if I move at 3 inches over? Like,
yeah.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
This dude is the worst. I love that dude, yo. He's awesome. The dude is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they're adorable.
Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. It's a good looking family, Jeremy.
Oh, I can't. So I was saying this the other day. I said that like Remy was born with blue eyes.
Yeah.
And then they changed. They're like Hazel now. They look, Val's brother has Hazel eyes. So he looks just like his uncle, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Lennox comes out with a dimple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, do I have to go talk to Jeff Probst about you and Val? Like, you have to tell me something with the blue eyes and the dimple, you know? Like, so we were joking around about that the other day.
All right, well, let's touch on what's going on with everything in this Survivor season, where we're down to the final five. You know, I don't have any idea what you think about anything going on with this season. So I'd love to get your take. Have you enjoyed this season?
I enjoy every season. I love Survivor so much. I enjoy every season. This isn't one of my favorite seasons, but it's still fine, I guess. Like, I don't know. I'm up and down with it, but I enjoy every season.
Yeah. Well, it's been heating up these last couple of weeks. We've had some really exciting tribal councils, including last night.
I'd say that. Yeah, the last two were pretty nice.
Yeah.
The couple of the ones early on that I was like, Allie was my pick. I thought Allie was going to do it. And then she goes so early. I'm like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, but I'm never good at picking them. So I don't even know why I even thought about it. But
have you ever picked a winner?
Not even my season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so my first season, I said, I'm going to win this. And if I don't win it, Val's going to win this. And we were both wrong. And then the second time I went on, I said, I'm not winning this thing. There's no way I'm going to win this game. I'm just going to go out there and have fun. And then I win it. So I'm always wrong. So whatever.
Not like Nicole, who had faith in you.
Yes. Yes. She had my back. Unlike you.
Hey, you didn't even know you were going to win. Don't get mad at me.
But Nicole did.
Okay. Well, she has a history of witches in her family. So I don't know exactly what she's tapped into. I want to ask you about Ben here and this run that he's been on with finding these idols and the fact that he played this idol at the final six. Then he is basically his only chance to stay in the game is to find an idol at the final five, which he ultimately ends up doing. Were you surprised watching the show that people weren't following him around?
Oh my God. I don't know what they were doing. Like, why wouldn't they follow him around? So my second season, when Keith, I can't even remember the numbers where we were at, but Keith was on the chopping block and we were all sitting around and Keith was starting to go look for an idol. And we're like, yo, we got to find this. We got to watch this dude, you know? And we thought that Kelly had it and we were thinking all these different things, or at least I did. And we were watching Keith and we're like, you don't just let people just walk off. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah. And not only did they let him walk off, but eventually I think they just felt like, well, it's not around here. We looked everywhere. So I don't know that, you know, God bless him, but it's not here.
Oh my God. I don't understand. And I know like you're tired, like, but you're right there at the end. You know what I mean? Like, it's right there. The finish line is right there. You're not going to be so tired that you can't just follow one guy, you know, and go in shifts. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable. And
yeah.
Then like he just, and then he's on the shelter. Like, you should be watching everything. You know what I mean? Like, I wish they showed how he grabbed it underneath the shelter. That's what I wanted to see. I wish they showed that.
Yeah. Do you think that he was able to just pull it out from where he was and maybe they didn't have a clean shot at it? Or do you feel like that they thought it would be more exciting to not show if he had it or not?
I mean, either way, you know, if they could show him grab it, that's exciting. So they must not have had a clean shot. And yeah, there's no way they could have had a clean shot of him finding it, you know?
Yeah. I think that they were probably hoping that he would have crawled underneath the shelter, because that's really, that would have been death defying, because you played in the first season where Survivor made it where the idol was hidden someplace where you had to sort of risk everything to go look for it. I went back and I was looking at when you found the idol back in Second Chances in the challenge, and there was some, you know, risk of getting caught there.
Yeah.
Not like where Lauren just had to sit down and pick up a shell off the ground.
And then she's hanging with it. She's like rolling around in her hand. It was like, she didn't even try to put it in her pocket real quick. She just tossed it around, you know, like that was crazy.
Yeah.
What's up with that? were they just giving her the one? Like,
I mean, I don't know why they would necessarily pick Lauren out of anything. I mean, it looked like the thing that she found originally, the part that had the strap, wasn't just laying there. So I don't think that that was something where they were just like hoping that she would find that. But they really did make it very easy to find that. And again, maybe,
how did she find the strap? I don't remember. Was that when she was with the with everybody and they walked by it?
I think that Ben was hiding of his fake idol somewhere where he was hoping Chrissy was going to find it. And then she happened to walk past where the clue to a real idol was.
Yeah, that's right. And she said, "You guys walk right by it." Was that then? I think that
was it. Yeah, no, I think you have it right.
Yeah, because that drove me crazy. I couldn't believe, I was sitting there, we were watching it with my daughter. And I said, "What are you doing?" And my daughter jumped up. She was like, "What did I do, Dad?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this." Like, she's telling him, like, she could have just snatched that real quick and pocketed that.
Now, do your kids watch the show with you guys?
My second daughter does, Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jordan has no interest in Survivor at all. She just doesn't care about it. She's crazy. I'm like, how do you not find this so fun? Like, this was part of your life, you know, for, you know, 3-4 years. And she could care less. But my second daughter, Cameron, she said yesterday that she's like, "Dad, why can't they just have a kid's Survivor?" she wants it bad. She's funny.
What about Val? Does Val keep up with it?
Val's the same as she always been. She watches it and then she'll come in the room and be like, "Oh, this is gonna happen, it's gonna happen." And then she leaves and it happens. I'm like, "Yo, get out of here. Stop ruining it for everybody else, you know?" But you know what we did? We did like a little draft this year
for the
after the merge, and you know, we picked it out of a hat, and you know, we each had it was 12 people or something like that, and we each had 6, and we had like a whole scoring system and everything.
Yeah, who came up with the scoring system?
We both did. Like, I would say, like, the if you use an idol, you get like 5 points. If you or you use an idol correctly, you get 5 points. If you do this, you get, you know, if your name's on the screen, you get a point for that. You know, like, so we had a whole bunch of different things. And we have like 6 on the DVR that we just have to go through and calculate the score. We haven't calculated any score. We've watched it, but we have not calculated any score. So our game is kind of falling apart.
Jeremy, the good thing about this podcast is that if you just put out your rules to somebody, I'm sure there'd be plenty of volunteers that will help you figure out who won. And honestly, you could probably cheat and just tell Val, like, "Oh, we had somebody figure it out and I was the winner." Sorry, Val.
Whatever it was, I don't even remember the teams, but I knew that my team was stacked, and I even tweeted it out, like, "This is my team," and like, I was getting everybody, people were tweeting out saying, "Oh, Val's all done." Like, I had all the big names, you know, like she had like JP. Oh, is that his name, JP?
Yeah.
Like, how about, yeah, you got JP, good, take it, you know.
So we saw Ben with this hidden immunity idol last night. Basically, they were calling him out. He took the idol out and he said, "Well, I'm going to play it at this tribal council." They said, "Well, how do we know you're going to play it?" And he went up to Jeff and said that, "Jeff, I'm going to the final 5. And he played it before the votes were cast. Now, as somebody who has played a few idols for yourself, for other people, did you like that he was allowed to be able to say, "Hey, this is what I'm doing with my idol, play it now"?
I mean, I didn't mind that he did it. I just don't see why he did it like that. Like, I feel like if you like, they're coming after you. They just came after you last time. They can't think that you have it again. You know what I mean? So why not do it again? You know what I mean? Like, why not? And then you could kind of, you decide who you want to go home. I mean, if they doing the, you know, they're splitting vote and everything, if they do that, they do that. But at least you're safe. And now you have another surprise idol play on your resume that's better than just giving your idol up like that. You know what I mean? Like, when you mm-hmm. can dictate a whole round of voting, like, yeah. that's huge. Yeah. Like, I did that when I played it for Fishback. It's a cool feeling that you know everywhere, you know all where all the votes are going, and you could kind of dictate wherever you wanted to go. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And you could kind of you send home the person that you want to send home.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched a interview that we did right after the finale when we were on the red carpet back in right after Second Chances earlier today. And you talked about how in Cambodia, if somebody played the idol correctly after when they got back from tribal council, everybody would flock to that person you would sort of like gain power in the game. But with Ben, after he played the idol correctly last week, he became more of a pariah in the group. Is that because that with the second time players, it was a little bit more of like game respects game, and this was that he would just like made them more mad by playing the idol?
Yeah, I think that, you know, first time players, you learn a lot after the first time you play. And but you know what, though? If he played it again and did it again, I think that's when they say, you know what? We can't do this. We can't just keep going after this guy. He's going to keep knocking us out. Let's go after someone else and let's see what he does. You know what I mean? I think if he does it the second time, I think that's when the first time players can kind of like reevaluate the situation. What do you think?
In terms of which part of it?
Do you think that it's the first time player thing?
I don't know. I just feel like that they're so frustrated. It's like they all identify that, boy, if this guy, if he gets to the end, he's going to beat us all. And I think they're all sort of like, all right, no matter what, he's got to go. And nobody wants to work with him. And I think they're all just so frustrated. And I feel like that just like helps his case. No?
Yeah, but when do you stop going after him? Like, when do you just like... Yeah, I mean, you can't really force it. You know, you just got to let it come to you. I don't know. I think it's the first time player. I don't know. I'm trying to go back in my head to the first time I played.
Yeah.
And because of like, so I think about it like this. So, and I'm jumping around, but the first time I played, I was going to tell Nat that I found the idol. You know what I mean? And we were kind of using it. We were working together and we were digging at night in shifts. And I would have told her that I found it. And also like when I went to exile, I'm pretty sure I would have come back and told John, you know what I mean? Like, John, Mish, I got this. I got it. Yo, we're good.
Yeah.
And I would use that as a to bond us together.
Yeah.
You know, it was mine. I wasn't going to use it for them, but I would have used that together. So I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? It's their first time playing. That's why they're running their mouth and telling everybody that they have idols all over the place. And then the second time, like there was never a time second game that I was going to say anything. I take it back. One time I was sitting in the hammock with Spencer and I had it right in my pocket. And he's sitting in the hammock with me and his leg is touching the idol. And I said, Kelly could have another one. She already found one. And he said, that's like saying you have another one. And I want to be like, I do in my pocket. You know what I mean? So for a split second, I thought about it and I said, I'm not saying anything. So I don't know. Maybe it's the second time playing that people like really hold everything close to their vest and they don't. And the first time you just want it, want people to trust you. You want everybody to come to you. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I do think that that is sort of the charm of these first time player seasons, that I think we do get a little spoiled with, you know, the returnees, and you guys know every single angle, and it's really hard to get the jump on somebody. But I feel like that in these first time players, I do feel like that there is something about people, you know, making mistakes and not knowing what to do that does make it fun. And I do feel like that in some ways that this season does remind me of San Juan del Sur, because I feel like as somebody who is, like, you know, covering all this stuff on a week to week basis, I feel like that during San Juan del Sur, especially like in the first half, that there was a lot of the same talk about, oh, this season is boring, there's nothing going on. Yeah. And then, you know, it got, you know, as when Present Company, was even, you know, gone. I mean, that was like a big moment in the season, you know, and things did pick up. And I don't think there's anybody that's as good of a player as Natalie was. But I feel like that was a season that was getting more exciting towards the end after a slow start. And I feel like that this season has that to some degree.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Oz was really boring at the beginning. And then it kind of picked up. It kind of picked up at the merge, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't even say at the merge, because
Julie ends up leaving.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of, I don't know, that was kind of cool too.
But Julie quit? That was cool. Why? Because you were going to get voted off?
Because it was close that I would have been gone, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's exciting, you know what I mean?
No, like, it's exciting for you. Everybody else thought it was boring when she quit. Did you hear? I think that very sad news. I don't think that Julie and John Rock are together anymore.
No, Julie and John Rocker have not been together for a while. I talked to John.
You talked to John Rocker?
I talked to John Rocker, yeah. John calls me when he's drunk.
So you talk to him every day?
He calls me up and he's like, Derp. Like, I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you talking about? And he's just, it's always the same conversation. He's like, come on down. Like, he's going to be in Buffalo or something at a golf, you know, a golf thing or a hunting thing. And he wants me to come up, and he wants me to come down to Atlanta and hang out with him and stuff.
Yeah.
And he wants Val to stop being a cop. And, you know, it's always the same conversation all the time, you know? But yeah, hey, listen, Johnny Rock, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Man. I tell everybody that, like, when, like, everybody talks about our season, about how, you know, all the, everything he used to say when he was younger and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, he's a really good dude. He'll call me. He's friends with Val. Like, mm-hmm. They were at, you know, they went on their, the pre-jury trip,
right?
And like, he's friends with her, and he'll call me just out of respect that he's not calling my wife. And I'm like, hey, you can call my wife, yo. I'm all right with that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You're not worried.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a really good dude.
Well, that's what everybody from your cast says. You know, he has like the worst reputation, but everybody that played with him, you know, all came off the season and said that no, he's a good guy.
His reputation, he should have that reputation. Like, he deserves that reputation. But now,
look,
I think
I'm
he
a
just
Mets
grew
fan.
Up.
You don't have to tell me about his reputation.
He asked me about the kids all the time. Yeah. He's awesome.
Shea Stadium one night when he like got booed out of the building. I think it was like his first game back
at
Shea Stadium.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was there with my dad. I don't know what year it must have been, like maybe like 2000 or something like that. And it was
so you knew him right away.
Yeah, I mean, when they announced in the cast that he was going to be on it, yeah, I definitely, you know, knew all that stuff. Yeah, because it was all about like they had played the Mets in the 99 NLCS, and then he did like that Sports Illustrated article we talked about, like where he was on the 7 train and what he saw on the 7 train.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was like in context of what he saw in New York playing the Mets. So
if you were in season 29 with Nicole in pregame or something, you you see him there, would you know who he was?
You know, I don't think I would have been able to like recognize him not wearing, you know, a hat with an A on it. So,
oh, really?
I don't think I would have like recognized his face or anything like that. No, I mean, I think I might have thought like, is he an athlete? And then,
yeah,
you know, I know the name more so than,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, you know, his face up close. It's been, you know, such a long time.
Because I didn't, when he had a hat on, I didn't know who he was. I was looking at him. I was like, oh, he got to be a tight end for somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, playing NFL. He's a tight end or something. But as soon as he had his hat off, I looked at him. I said, I know exactly who that guy is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not even, I don't even watch baseball.
Right.
Like I'm not even a big, but I knew that, you know,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. You don't even like the Red Sox.
I like the Red Sox, but I'm not, I'm not a baseball guy. I really can't. I watch them when they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not even the first round of the playoffs. They gotta stop making moves. And, you know, once they get to the ALDS or something, then I'll watch it. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, it's too slow.
Yeah.
So I'm making everybody mad. All these baseball fans are making them all mad.
No, it's fine. It's fine. A bunch of these people are Yankee fans. They're probably happy to hear you don't want to watch the Red Sox. A bunch of front runner Yankee fans just came on board also.
Yeah, you know, Val's a Yankee fan too. Did you guys just
Wait, oh yeah, Val. So she talks to John Rocker and she's a Yankee fan?
Yes.
Oh my God.
She went to school in New York, so she loves the Yankees. She went to like a parade or something when they won. I don't know. It almost cost us a relationship.
I had no idea. do you have somebody in this season that you feel like you really identify with? I just assume that you identified with Ben, but is that not the case?
No, I'm not. No. I mean, I think he's going to win now, but, I don't know. I wasn't like all into him. I thought Devin, I was really into Devin for a while. And I said, Devin's running this game. And actually he said something. He said at one episode, what does he say? He said that he knows where all the votes are going and he feels like he's in control of the game and this and that. And I said, yo, that's funny because Second Chances, there was a time where I felt the same way. That I knew everything that was going on. You know, I felt control of the game. And that's when I felt good about him. And then the last episode, like, he kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. Like, you know what it is?
What?
Chrissy does this a lot. When they're in control, they're really full of themselves. And they have all this confidence, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they get too cocky. And then, and you could see the cockiness just drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. But then like once it starts flipping, you could see like Chrissy wasn't so confident. She's like, oh, I love this. I'm so happy. And then the next day she's like laying in the shelter all sad and ready to cry mm-hmm. because the game flipped on her, you know? And I guess I didn't think I was that cocky my first season, but, maybe I was the day I got voted out. Maybe I was a little too cocky. You know, I was like, now you guys see what it feels like to be on the bottom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now that I've gotten Josh out of the game.
Yeah. You know, cause I felt like they were all after me and I knew they were coming after me. So, you know, I won immunity and then Josh was gone. And I felt like, boom, now I feel good about this. Like I'm finally in control of my game. And yeah. I said it to, I think it was Alec. I said to Alec, like, cause for a while Alec was running around like, Alec was driving me crazy. He's running around telling, you know, Jeremy, do this, Jeremy, do that. I'm like, oh, he said, Jeremy, do this. Maybe we'll keep you around for a little while or something like that. And I'm like, oh my God, Alec, I'm about to bring this dude's neck. And I'm just like, I'm trying to chill. I'm trying to be nice, you know? And, it drove me crazy for a while. And then as soon as the game flipped, I was like, now you see how it feels to be on the bottom, you know, like, and I didn't feel like I was cocky, but like I was comfortable, you know, I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, now what, you know, and then they take me out and then I'm devastated, you know, like,
yeah.
So I could see where the cockiness changes in people and it rubs me the wrong way. Like Devin, it was Devin.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Devin was like, he just he's saying a couple things that I'm like, all right, chill out, yo, bring it back before you get, you know, before you're gone. You know what I mean?
I felt like that he had that where, like you in Second Chances, that I felt like that there was a point in this game where Devin, where everybody just really loved Devin. Everybody wanted to work with Devin and he was in really good with everybody. But then there was that point where Lauren took them on the reward and said, okay, yeah, this is the four, this is the group. And then he sort of was, you know, locked in with that group. And then, you know, I said that 2 hour episode, when he put Ben's hat on, it was like, uh-huh, okay, you know, I'm calling the shots around here. And then we saw Lauren get taken out of the game. And now he's flipped back to Ryan and Chrissy after this episode and gotten rid of Ashley.
Ashley, yeah.
Do you feel like that this is a bad job on Devin's part now to get back in with Ryan and Chrissy?
Let me run through the names. Ryan and Chrissy.
Ryan and Chrissy.
Devin, go back with that. If I was Devin, I would stick with Ben. I think, but that's just me saying, like, we have to stick together, the bigger guys, because they're going to come after one of us. You know, once they come after one of us, they're going to come after the other one. And so I would have probably stayed with Ben, but, I don't know. I would have to look at the jury and see who's, like, I'm not so into this season that I'm like saying, oh, this person was a healer and this person, and I'm like, check, you know, monitoring the jury and stuff. So I'm not that far into the game.
Yeah. For me, I'm not so sure why he switched away from Ashley and Dr. Mike to go with Ryan and Chrissy. Do you feel like that he just thought that those two are much easier to beat at the end, and that's why he wanted to flip?
I mean, that's the only reason why he would have done it, right? Like, I don't. It wouldn't make sense if he thought any other way, right? You know. Well,
you tell me, when you know you have this final three. I mean, that how much are you really saying, okay, well, this is that I know I can beat these two people, and you know, I'll move hell and high water to switch to be with the people that I think I can beat the easiest? Or when you're out there, is it really just more about like, I just need to get to day 39? If somebody is like an obvious threat, let's take them out, but not really trying to maneuver it to be with two specific people?
I mean, it all depends. I look at it like this. So I thought that I could beat everybody, except I thought it would be close with Spencer. Mm-hmm. That was the only person I was like, oh, you know, Spencer would be tough to beat. But, you know, I didn't think that Kelly was going to be so close. But even with knowing what I knew then, I still was like, I'm not going with them. I'm sticking with these people. And, you know, I thought I could beat everybody at that point, but I guess it comes down to percentages. Like, if you think that, you know, if I have 100% chance to beat these two people, then go with it. You know what I mean? But if it's closer than that and you feel like, you know, I have a 50% chance of beating Spencer, but I know for a fact that he will take me with me. If I lose, he's going to take me. Then I'm going to go that route. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I have more trust in the 50%, then I'm going to go with that trust, then as opposed to try to go with 100% and I might not even get there. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm sure it's a factor, like in your situation where you're at the final four and you have to decide, okay, well, should I vote out Kelly? Should I vote out Spencer? You know, you're thinking about, you know, who do you want to sit there at the end with? But at this point at the six, I just don't know how much it is where, like, I feel like that, is he going with them because he feels like it's a straighter shot to the final three, or because he feels like, okay, well, that these two are easier to beat in the final three than the people I'm potentially still with.
And that's a slippery slope, because you really never know what the jury's thinking. You know what I mean? So I think you just have to use your gut and go with the people that you feel most comfortable with. And you know, I don't know. So I remember, Fishback told me that Kimmy had a chance to win in this whole thing. And I said, are you serious? Are you joking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was like, no, they like the jury was into her, you know, her coming back and her having, you know, single mom and this and that. I'm like, really? Like, I couldn't believe it, you know, because Kimmy, you know, Kimmy's awesome. I love Kimmy.
Yeah.
But she didn't really do much out there. You know, she took care of people. You know, she would go out and get clams and snails and stuff like that. But she wasn't a mastermind, and she didn't, you know, make crazy moves and stuff like that.
But I do think that that speaks to that. I feel like that the jury, they just want something crazy to happen for, you know, they're sitting there and they want there to be fireworks. And if, you know, you had in your season, you had, you know, Tasha and Spencer sitting next to you and they looked like, okay, well, they were all on the same page.
Yeah.
They all wanted the same thing to happen. And so we'll vote for the best player out of these three. But in the same way, you know, where Sandra is sitting there with Russell at the end of the game and people are like, and Sandra's like, no, I was against Russell this whole time. Like that, having that person in there who was sort of like against the status quo that the jury is against. Like I do think like the jury, I felt like was really reacting positively to Ben saying like, hey, I've got an idol. Let's shake up the game. You know, that's sort of like Sierra Easton of like, hey, let's make this big move. The jury, they eat that stuff up.
Yeah. And I guess the same thing with Kelly. Like they wanted the underdog and Kelly to come out and, you know, every time we would come back from we would walk into a tribal, they would see I would look for them to see who had the idol around their neck, you know?
Yeah.
And if Kelly, like people, Kelly had it and they're like, oh, you know, pump their fist or something like that. And even like, Savage did it once and I was like, what the hell was that? Like Savage, you know what I mean? Like, so I could see that people wanting the underdog to win and, you know, to see something shake up and they're not just going to go the regular way.
The jury, they just want to watch the world burn sometimes. I think that maybe there's something you could do where it's like, you know, you're like what you want to have happen is happening, but you could act like oh no, oh man. That you want this chaos to happen. They feel like they really like that. Let me ask you about one of the contestants this season. Last month, you tweeted something about one of the contestants.
Oh, geez.
You said Chrissy reminds me of somebody.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, she does.
You said that Chrissy reminds you of Missy. And now I actually saw Missy back last week, believe it or not. That I was in Austin, Texas. We did the show live in Texas, and I saw.
Did she just show up?
She was just showing up there, and no, we did it. We did invite her.
And we'll just show up.
Yeah. And so, and she was not fond of Chrissy. I asked her about.
Really?
She said, no, I don't like her.
Wow.
So
really, wow. I feel like they're like the exact same player.
Yeah. Okay. Why? What are you seeing?
So Missy would like right from the jump, Missy was acting like the mom and, you know, trying to take care of everybody. And I guess Ben said at one point, Chrissy, you're not going to just come in here and mother me. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's Missy. Missy would do that. But then Missy was a game player. You know, she would do little things that you would be like, oh, she knows what she's doing, you know.
Get in the backseat and let me drive.
Yeah.
I love those. she would like, so right from the jump, we get there and she's going through everybody's stuff. And she tried to say she was folding everything. So trying to act like she's being a mom and fold everybody's stuff and let it hang out to dry. But in fact, she's going through everybody's looking for
like Lisa Welchel.
Is that what she did?
That Lisa Welchel did that to Malcolm, that she found his idol.
But yeah, but you know what? But she wasn't trying to do that. She just happened to fall upon it. You know, Missy was actually looking for it.
Yeah.
So like little things like that. Missy was like, Missy knows what she's doing. She knows how to play the game, but she tries to act like she doesn't. And I feel like Chrissy's doing the same thing, except Chrissy's like, you know, what would drive me crazy about her is when like, right. So, for instance, when they had that the spaghetti dinner and they're all sitting on the log and she comes back and she's talking right there, whispering.
Yeah.
Like that would drive me crazy. I'm like, no, don't, we're not talking right now. Like we can talk later. Like pump your brakes and chill out a little bit. You know, like that would drive me so crazy because then that puts a target on you. And I hated that, you know. And how they do all the other thing, how they do all the their meetings. They have big meetings. Yeah. And I remember always say, like, yo, we don't need this meeting. Like, two people tops can talk. You know, two people plus me. Like, three people tops. We don't need, you know, seven people talking right now. You know, we don't need a group of this. That drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite moments from the show that we did last week down in Texas. So we had Colby Donaldson there also. Mm-hmm. And Colby was talking about how, you know, that what season was the hardest or something along those lines. He's like, well, there's one thing I know that, you know, my season was the only one that was 42 days. And Missy said, yeah, that was 42 days in Australia. And Missy said, well, we had day zero. And Colby was like, day zero, what the hell is that? And she was trying to explain to him day zero, and he's like really confused. I was like, all right, we're not going to settle this right now. We're not going to wrap Colby's head around day zero right now.
but listen, Nicaragua, you could have been there for 50 days. Like, it rained.
It was nice.
It was beautiful. It rained one time. You know what I mean? It was awesome.
After you guys gave the tarp away for
Oh my God.
For more rice.
Oh my God. and then right after it rained, then it's the most beautiful day ever. Sun shining. And then she quits. She wants to quit. Julie. Good job, Julie.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful. So, like, it can't be if she's saying like that it's tougher because we had a day zero. It's not tougher. Cambodia was so much tougher than Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No,
I get it. I saw Steven have all sorts of problems out there. I remember.
Hey, you know what? So I just went to a couple college friends and high school friends, we all went to the Patriots game this past weekend in Miami. And, you know, like at one night, it was like 3 a.m. We're at a bar, outside bar, tiki bar type thing. And I go and walk. I turn around and I could see the stairs going down to the beach. And I walk down to the beach and I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is giving me flashbacks. And it was like an emotional moment mm-hmm. for me right there. Like, I was like, I remember I'm walking and looking at the sand while I'm walking. And then I lift my eyes up and I'm looking at the water. And I'm like, this is what I would do every night, 2 or 3 times a night. I would get up, count everybody, walk down to the water, go to the bathroom, and then come back and make sure everybody's still there. Like, and it was like a flashback. It was unbelievable. Like, it gave me chills and like my heart was racing.
And it was a good feeling. It wasn't like a bad feeling.
I don't know. I mean, it was good, a good reminisce on it, but mm-hmm. It was still a bad feeling. Like, oh, no. like Survivor sucks, yo, man. That is so hard. Yo. Cambodia crushed me, man. Cambodia was tough on me.
Yeah, and you won.
And I won. Yeah.
Imagine all the people that didn't win, how they feel.
Every once in a while, like I'll smell something and I'll be like, oh, Val, like I could smell Survivor. Like, in it. It like triggers something. It gives me goosebumps and stuff. And like, it's just,
Jeremy, when did you feel worse? When you were down on the beach reminiscing about all of the suffering on Survivor, or when you were in that stadium Monday night suffering, watching
that's cold your blooded. Beloved Patriots? Cold-blooded. You know what? Truthfully, the game was awesome because I don't really remember much of the game. You know, I don't really remember much of the whole weekend, to tell you the honest truth.
Yeah.
They played so bad, though. They played horrible, man.
And what was going on? There was a guy that was sleeping behind you.
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the picture.
That was my buddy. That was my college buddy. So yeah. That's what he does. Like, so we all went to this one bar, and they had a, you know, the drinks were like, they were
huge. Saw you guys had like giant drinks.
They humongous, Rob. I'm telling you, they were ridiculous. Like, but it was buy one get one.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, oh, like let's
the
do
coconuts,
this. Like the coconuts.
Yeah, that's what they said. That's when Mike and Joe were the coconuts. They said they're buy one get one.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I remember them saying coconuts, but I don't remember that part. But whatever. I was probably drinking through that too. But yeah. Like this dude, he like I got a margarita. Someone got a frozen margarita. You know what I mean? And this dude wants to get what is it called? What's the one with the iced tea? The
Long Island iced tea.
Long Island iced tea. Yeah. I'm like, why would you do that, yo? Like, that's ridiculous. And then you see why, because he does that, and then he drinks the whole thing, and then he falls asleep during the game. That's what you get.
That's what you got. He was probably had the best time at anybody who was there who was a Patriots fan. So let's talk about this reward challenge that they had last night. So they ended up playing it in pairs, and then we saw where Chrissy and Devin end up winning the reward, and they have to take Ryan with them. Now, this was something that came up a lot in San Juan del Sur, where you and Natalie were giving rewards to people. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, they didn't appreciate it. People still ended up voting you guys out anyway, but people weren't getting mad at you guys because of that. Do you feel like, was there a better way for Chrissy and Devin to have handled picking the person for the reward?
I don't even remember how they picked him. How did that have that happen?
They just said, what do you think? What do you think, Ryan? And I think that pissed off.
Oh, was that Ashley was mad?
Yeah, Ashley was mad about it. But Dr. Okay, Mike was mad too, because Dr. Mike felt like, hey, Ryan was the worst person in the challenge. Why is he being rewarded? He cost me a chance to go on this reward.
So what's the question? Is there a better way for them to?
Yeah. Did you see a different way for them to go?
The best way is to not win the challenge. That's the best thing to do. At that point in the game, you don't want to win the challenge. You want to get picked to go, but you don't want to. For our season, season 31, we on the family visit, Kelly Wentworth won.
Right.
And she had to pick everybody. And Jeff Probst was saying, like, he said something about, like, to me, like, look at Jeremy's face or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, you don't want to be where she's at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you're going to, you don't really make friends like that. You know what I mean? People will still take you out, but you will make enemies, you know? So you don't want to be that person to do that. You just want to, come in second or third. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you get to go, but you don't want to make any decisions on who else goes.
So would you advise people to never win a reward challenge?
I would advise people to never win reward challenges towards the end of the game like that. Mm-hmm. After the merge, when it's like single elimination, single rewards that, you know, you go by yourself and then you can stop picking people.
Yeah.
Don't win. You don't want to win it.
Okay. So, but it's okay to win the group reward. So
yes, group rewards are fine.
So then last week we had this reward for the family visit where the survivors almost didn't have a say in whether or not they could win this thing. You had to stick your hand into the bag of marbles and pull out a marble. So did you like that they took the choice away from the survivor of whether you could try to win or not?
It was kind of whack. You know what I mean? It's like, it was nothing to it. You know what I mean? It was just all luck. I would want to see something entertaining. You know what I mean? Ashley, I remember I watched it and Ashley said, that's it. Like, that's it.
You lost.
I'm like, yeah, that's it.
You're out.
Yeah. That wasn't fun. That wasn't fun. I don't know why they came up with that one.
Yeah. All right. So now we're down to the final five and we're heading into this finale. Now, Ben obviously is going to be the main target moving forward. He'll be out there looking for another idol. But in terms of the rest of the four,
Remind me, who is it?
It's so Devin, Ryan, and Chrissy seem like they're together. And then there's still Dr. Mike. And then there's Ben. So do you feel like that? Can Ben and Dr. Mike get back on the same page? Or does Dr. Mike have to just really throw Ben under the bus and hope that he doesn't have an idol?
I mean, I don't think he really has to. If everything's going how it's going, I think they're all going to be going after Ben as it is. So Dr. Mike could keep playing bad like he is. He's doing a fine job of it himself.
Yeah. I mean, that Dr. Mike, it seems like that he's been right there through, you know, he's persevered through a lot of adversity in the merge, and he's never quite had the target on his back. He had the hidden immunity idol at one point, and it did feel like he squandered it at that point where that he didn't want Joe to go home, and he played the idol on the vote where Cole was going home, and it looked like he got a second shot at it, but ultimately he made the move last week where Lauren gave him half the idol, and he threw Lauren's idol into the fire.
Now, can I ask you a question about that? Why did he do that?
But that's a good question.
I try to figure it out myself, and I can't come to a conclusion. So can you please help me with that?
Yeah, I don't really know. It seemed like that he was potentially targeting Lauren to come into that tribal council, but then he was on board to get rid of Ben by the end of it. And I think that he probably would have been in a better spot if he would have stuck with the Lauren side of things. The only problem was that then if they were going to try to vote out Ben at that tribal council, that Ben has that idol. So if
did they know that one?
No, they didn't know that, but it felt like that he was in a spot where he was able to take Ben's place in that alliance to me, where he would have been with Lauren and Ashley and Devin and could have gone to the final four with them. And also Lauren has that extra vote, which it would have been, you know, better to be on their side than to be with the Ryan and Chrissy side. But it feels like that he's 4 out of 4 with them. So I don't know how he gets past 4.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know what? So this dude says, like, after every episode, Mike says, I was in the dark once again. I was in the dark once again. Nobody told me anything. Mike's going to win this game. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun to see.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know about fun to see. Like, for the Survivor fan and me, I do not want to see someone that isn't control of some part of this game and then win it all. Like, that's not good.
Well, who do you want to see?
I would like to see Devin win.
Yeah.
You know, even though he, you know, he's coming off a little crazy right now and you know, he's a little full of himself. I think he's playing the best game so far. Like, he's strategically, he's on it. I think he's made the least amount of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody else is making mistake after mistake after mistake. The biggest mistake is everybody's talking so much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they're talking so much. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of sharing of all of the secrets. Now, you yourself, you had those two idols in Cambodia. You didn't tell anybody.
No.
You didn't tell one person.
Right. So that's how you do it. You keep these secrets to yourself, you know. Knowledge is so they said, like, knowledge is power, and if we can share this knowledge, like, we'll be powerful. I'm like, yeah, but if you keep that knowledge to yourself, aren't you the most powerful person? You know, like, you can control your own destiny. You can just control this game.
Yeah.
If you just keep these things under wraps. Every episode that people talk, like, I'm like, I need to call Wentworth, you know. Like, we gotta get together and scream at these people. You know what I mean?
So are you close enough with Kelly that you talk to her about the episodes?
Every once in a while, I'll hit her up. I'll either text her or tweet her or Instagram her. I'll slide into her DM. And,
yeah.
You know, like, something like that. But yeah, like, me and Kelly are cool.
Was it always that way after the season? Because I feel like that you guys weren't super tight right after Cambodia ended.
So after the Nicaragua, after Blood vs. Water, we were cool. We were very close because we were tight from the beginning. And then she was on the other tribe and then she was gone. So we were tight and I thought we were good. And then pregame of Cambodia, and I'm listening to all the podcasts and I'm listening to everybody that comes on and talks to you. And she never said, like, oh, I can't wait to work with Jeremy. You know what I mean? Like, she said something to the fact that she's going to talk to Keith, but she never said, oh, like, yeah, I want to talk to Jeremy. So right then I was like, oh, like, it looks like we're not close. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess she kind of was waiting for me to say something. And since I was already saying, oh, we're not close, I'm not dealing with her, she never stepped over and said it. But I guess she was still fine with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were always cool, but I think during that game, like, it was just a little, like, my paranoia just right from the jump. I was like, oh, no, we're not together.
Well, that was such a complicated situation to have that fan vote. And then there was all of, like, the politicking and campaigning that went into it. So if they ever do that again, what would you advise for people that were going through that process if they let us do interviews with people? Do you just say you love everybody, or, you know, or does that also come off as fake?
I mean, it, not necessarily love everybody, but just don't say that you're not going to work with anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to work with them. I can't wait to play with that person. Even if you don't want to play with them, I can't wait to see them out there. That's going to be so fun to watch her play. You know, I can't wait to see Abby. Abby's so crazy. I can't wait to see what she does out there. Yeah. Boom. That's it. You know what I mean?
So you don't want to be like Belichick of like, I'm not even thinking about that. Next question.
No, definitely not.
Don't do that. So
you want to be more like, you don't even want to be like Rob Ryan.
No, that's right. Yeah. Maybe like a Herm Edwards. I think that's.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Herm's a very good one. Yeah, he's got a good personality. He's not a good coach, but he's a good personality. He doesn't know what he's doing. But yeah, you play to win the game.
Yes.
Hello.
A very good one.
Yeah.
I will say, I remember when, like, for the pregame of this game, like, all the videos were all coming out, and I remember listening to JP.
Yes.
JP was, you know, JP's a firefighter.
Yes.
And he's like, he said, oh yeah, I want to play like Tom Westman. And I'm like, wow. Like, do you know there was another firefighter that won that was really recent? You know what I mean? So someone came up to me a couple of days after I saw that, and they were like, oh, I can't wait for that firefighter. He's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets.
Yeah.
It's like, I did not want to see him win. I'm like, get out of here. He didn't even give me any love.
Yeah, that's so weird, because I don't think he seems like he's like a super fan. So that's bizarre that he would know a season that was from a really long time ago.
Yeah. Like, you would think that even if it wasn't a long time ago, like they have to say like about the firefighters that played this game, or at least the firefighters that won. And he must have had some type of, you know, like, gone back and watched something of my game. You know what I mean?
You would think so.
I don't know.
I don't know. If you watched Second Chance, I know it comes up in the first. Yeah, but you're wearing the firefighter shirt in Second Chance. So I don't know that we can't get inside JP's head.
No, you can't.
Yeah, we don't know.
And things like that.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know what he's talking about. What did you think about this season when Alan thought he had the idol, though, to do the idol strip search? Did you ever think having somebody take their clothes off to see if they had the idol?
No, I never thought of that. That's a long time ago. Wow, that seems like forever ago that he was doing that. There was
Alan.
I would never thought about that, but wasn't that awesome? Like, this dude lost his mind for a second. Like, wasn't that the first 3 days or something? Like,
it was the first episode.
You know, he lost it, and he had the crazy eyes. I loved it. But I don't know. You don't ask someone to strip. And then, are you going to really check? Like, are you going to do the strip search and check that thing? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he was ready, to do sort of, like, the search before you go to prison. It was like a cavity search.
He needed Joe next to him.
What did you think of Joe this season?
I like Joe. I think the second time he plays, he'll be better. Because he was a little all over the place. And, you know, I think that I think that he was trying to be Tony too much, you know, and you can't do Tony. No one can do Tony. Tony can't even do Tony the second time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, like, we didn't get to talk to you during the Second Chance season. And so, yeah, did you think that Tony had a chance going back that second time?
I did. But if you go back and there's a bunch of winners on an all-star season, if there's four or five winners, I think that they have to find a way to work together, because people are going to come after them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And once one goes, then they're going after the next one, and they're going after the next one, because nobody, if you're the last winner, they're going to, you know, no one wants to see another winner, winner twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, they have to stick together. I think, what was it? It was when Sandra and JT, I think. Mm-hmm. Did they go after each other?
Sandra and JT went after each other, and Tony and Sandra went after each other. That it looked like there was one point, it was like the second hour of the show, where Tony and Sandra were like, okay, this is, we're going to work together, this is our alliance, we're good. And then by like 10 minutes after that, they were like, oh, no, I got to go after Sandra. She's Tony's got to go.
The kiss of death. You know what, that's tough to do. I think my second time playing, I was more apt to playing with anybody. Mm-hmm. But like my first time playing, after I came out the game, I said, you know what? I should have played with Josh. You know, I should have worked with him, you know. And I don't know, like someone has to make the step, and then the other person, you have to be comfortable to take it, and nobody would make a step towards it, you know.
Yeah. No, that's so really interesting, because you guys end up going out back to back. And I always feel like that when we talk about in Heroes versus Villains, where, you know, Suri and Tom Westman had that same sort of thing where they were two really great players and they were gunning for each other. And they go out, if not back to back, you know, really close to each other. And I think that both of them, like after that game, said, you know what, we should have worked together. Why were we trying to knock each other out? And I do think that, you know, you need to sort of like team up and be some sort of an Avengers if you're going to ultimately, if you're that big of a threat and you want to go far in one of these games.
And that's hard to do, you know what I mean? But if someone has to make that step and just to throw it out there a little bit and then hope that the other person is open to it, you know? You know what's crazy is that when I went to Ponderosa with Josh, like we would play games, card games and darts and all these other different games, and when we were on the same team, we won every single time we played.
Yeah,
every single time. So I was like why didn't we could have teamed up, we would have crushed this game if we just teamed up. But like it's really tough. It's hard. The second time we played, second chance, I didn't even want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to team up with so Fishback. I remember saying Fishback never gave me a fishy. He does not want to work with me. Like he does not want to work with the type of game I'm going to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I guess he threw my name out right from the beginning to somebody. And I was like, I'm going to lose my mind. And then I don't know what happened, but I pulled him to the side and we were talking and I said, I don't even remember what I said to him, but like he tried to shake my hand. I'm like, no, we don't shake hands out here, Fish. Like chill out. Don't do that. And He was talking to me and I was like, is he being genuine? And I'm like, I'm going with it. Like, cause he seemed genuine to me, but then I was like, is he playing me? You know? But he really was like genuine, like saying, oh, this is awesome. I always wanted to work with you. I put it out there and he was like, boom, he wanted it. And I was like, okay, then let's do it. You know? And look what it did. Like it bonded us together for the whole game, you know?
Yeah, the survivors put so much stock into who Steven gives the fishy to. They really, really look at it like, boy, it has so much weight.
Yeah, we do. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
And he actually brought us together he kind of pulled the whole, when we worked with Kelly and Sierra and Abby, he kind of pulled that whole thing together. And I said, yo, I'm going to go with what you say, because I know those girls don't want to work with me. They haven't said anything to me so far in this game. And I'm going to put my trust in you that you know what they really want. And he kind of pulled it all together.
Okay. Jeremy, I have questions for you from the listeners of the podcast. I want to start to bring some of those in. Okay. Jennifer Jones wants to know, was it a bad idea for Devin to hug Ashley when she was leaving? What do you think about that type of move when you vote somebody out? Should you go for the hug?
No, I wouldn't. Don't go for the hug. That's everyone's mad at that point, and they're let them go back to Ponderosa. Let them chill out. They don't even know everything that's going on, you know? So maybe you could explain yourself later and explain what you were doing and how everything worked out and, you know, a lie, something. I don't know. But
she stiff-armed him.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. She gave him the Heisman right to his face.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. And now you're like, now I lost that vote. You know what I mean? if I get to the final three, I don't have that one. And, you know, you never know what she's saying to everybody at Ponderosa. If she's like, you know, I'm not voting for him. You should not vote for him. He did this, that, and that, you know, like just for the sake of your game and your sanity for the rest of the game, don't go for that. Cause you don't want, like, I would be scared right now, but like, oh man, she's going to kill me now. You know what I mean? She's going to hurt me now. Like, and it's going to affect the rest of your game while you're out there playing. And you can't have that. You have to have 100% of your mind in the game, you know?
Does that help Devin, though? Do people see that like, oh, Ashley is mad at Devin, so maybe I should go to the final three with him?
I don't know. I don't know. If I was out there and I saw that, I still don't think I'd take Devin with me. I think Devin, I don't know what everyone is seeing from him, but if I think that Devin's playing a good game, I'm not going to say, oh, he lost that one vote because he could have everybody else. I'm not going by that. I'm going by what I think, and I'm going to take him out, you know. But what do I know? You know what I mean? Like,
hey, look, you won an all-star season.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but you know what? I tell you what. I was watching it was like 2 weeks ago. I'm at home, and the kids are sleeping, and I'm watching old clips of Ponderosa.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, I was wrong a lot. You know, like,
were you watching San Juan del Sur Ponderosa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When I came back, and like, Josh is trying to tell me this, and I'm like, I don't believe that. That didn't happen. You know, I thought Nat was coming after me. He was like, no, Nat wouldn't come after you, but this and that. And I'm like, what do you know? You know, and then someone else comes back and who was it? It was Wes, and Wes is saying this and that. And I'm like, what does Wes know? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. And I was wrong so many times. So like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm wrong a lot out there.
Yeah. What was something funny you saw in those Ponderosa clips besides you being wrong?
So we had, our Ponderosa was so fun. Like, our Ponderosa was, like, I would come back, I was so into the game, and I want to know who took me out and how things are going on out there. So people would come back, and Wes would come back, and he would give us nothing. And I'm like, all right, who's next? Like, I need some more information. So every time someone would come back, I would be asking for more information. But at one point, we got a donkey from production. I wish I could remember the donkey's name. It was like a
– why?
It was a blow-up, blow-up donkey.
Oh, okay. It wasn't a real one.
No, it wasn't a real one. No.
Okay.
It was a blow up donkey, and they got it from, I don't even know where they got it, but whatever they got it from, like, that's what they named it after. Was it Felipe? Felipe? And they got it from the Philippines or something like that. So we got it, and we were holding it hostage. So I go and took out magazines, and I made a ransom note, and I said, if you want Felipe, we want, you know, brownies, we want this, we want some Survivor t-shirts and hats and this and that.
You stole him from production?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was like, why? Who wanted him back? Okay, so it was a production inflatable donkey that they had from Survivor Philippines.
It's their mascot. That's their little mascot. And they keep it in the office and everything. And I don't even know how we got it, but we got it. And we all like dressed up as like, we had a black curtain, like we're Al-Qaeda or something, you know? And we had like, we had buffs over our face, and like I had a knife up to its neck, and like Josh had boxing gloves, and Wes had like a bat or something. Like, and we're all like, this, give us our demands or he won't be coming back alive, like this and that. So then at one point, like I had the knife up to his neck, and Josh punched it with a punching bag with the boxing glove, and the knife punched in his neck. So then the air was going up, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, yo, Josh, we just killed Philippe, you know? Like, so we had to do like a whole surgery on him. Like, I was like, we can't give him back like this. So we had like glue and stuff. And like, I'm blowing into the neck of the donkey, like giving it like CPR, mouth to mouth, blowing it up.
Yeah.
And then I take glue and patch it up, and we kind of patched it up. And by the next day, the glue dried and everything. And it kind of worked out, but it was, I was watching that, and that brought me back memories. That was a good time.
That made it to the Ponderosa video?
I don't even know if that made it to the Ponderosa video.
<If not. laughs>
It was, you know, it was like the still
pictures.
Yeah. It was like the still pictures and Josh had his birthday in the Ponderosa videos and like Philippe's in the background. And I was like, oh, this was fun. Yeah, that was a good time. I don't know. I'm just rambling on, man. This is what I do.
Edmo wants to know, when Ben knew the idol was under the shelter, should he have even cared if anybody saw him get it? Should he have just gone all out? Because you know what? I was getting stressed out watching it. I don't know if it came through for the people that were watching at home, because I see what time of day it is. And I know that production is like, all right, 5 minutes, tribal council, we're leaving. And if I'm Ben, I am frantic because that I'm going to this tribal council and I don't have this idol. Like, I think I might have just said, like, hey, screw it. I need that idol.
Well, you know that they give you the time. So, like, I would be trying to do it on the low and do it sneaky. But once it comes down to it and they say, like, hey, 5 minutes left, I'm underneath there. I'm getting that thing. I don't care. They could all see me. I don't care. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what? It didn't really matter because he kind of pulled it out anyway. So, like, they would have to scramble anyway. So, like, worse, it doesn't matter. You are getting that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you think you're on the chop block. If you're not on the chop block and you feel real comfortable and you know that you're coming back, and I guess you never do know, but, you know, you could hold off and get it another day when, you know, when no one's around. But, like, at his point where he was at, he had to go and get that thing.
Okay. Adam Goldman wants to know, do you think that it's a good thing that there's so many advantages and idols on this season of Survivor? How does that affect the social game, seeing that one person could just spend all of their time looking for idols and still make it to the final three and have big moves on their Survivor resume? So we haven't touched on this too much, but I think I know how you're going to feel about all the idols this season.
I like the idols. Okay. I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I feel like. So let me tell you, for a while I was like, I'm done with Survivor, but like, I would come back and play. Oh, after Cambodia, I was like,
you're done.
I'm
playing, done watching.
I'm all done.
Okay.
Oh no, I'll always watch it.
Okay.
But like, I would never play it, right? And now I'm at the point where I look and I'm like, you know what? I would do it again. You know, like, an all winter season, I would do it again. And I feel like an all winter season, like, it's going to be idols and advantages, and it's going to be so crazy. Like, there's going to be, it's going to be off the wall. And I think that's going to be so fun to watch, and it's going to suck to play, but as a fan, it's going to be awesome to watch. So I just look at all these and I'm like, that's going to be fun later on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is they're just adding to the repertoire where they could just load up for an all winter season and just throw everything at you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. You know, listen, you have to have a social game anyways, because you're not gonna get every advantage. You're not gonna get every idol. There's no way, you know? So you have to come up with some social game, you know? And you know what? Listen, half of it is luck anyway. So, like, you just got to go out there and do the best you can and hope that the ball falls in your court. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so like, you just got to do your thing.
Well, I'm excited to hear you say that you would play again, because I did feel like that. You thought that you'd said that you were done on playing again. And so that would be exciting for the all winter season. I definitely think that they're going to do an all winter season. I think that that is like the most likely next returnee season that they end up doing is.
Oh, you think so? The next one?
I think so, because I kind of feel like that Game Changers, I don't know if people really loved Game Changers. Like, I think that they really love Second Chances so much that they sort of like tried to recapture that, and I don't think it ended up working for whatever reason. Game Changers. But I feel like that, you know, could that be 40? I don't know.
I said I would do an all winter season, but I don't think I'm ready yet.
Don't
throw that out there. Like I'm not ready to do it yet, but I know I will be ready. But like, once you start throwing it out there, I'm like, now this is going to get real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When do you want to go? Like in 5 years?
I don't know. You can't give me a number. Okay. I can't give you like a day that I.
All right, because I want to talk about this also. So Jeremy, as I've done, you know, I've a lot of research today, and I saw that you and I, we are both born in the same year. And I know that next year is going to be a big birthday for us coming up, Jeremy.
Yes.
All right. And also I saw that your birthday is actually on April 20th with, I believe also your tribe. That's not right. When is it?
No, 16th.
16th. Okay. Well, the Survivor Wiki has it wrong.
Yeah, that's what that's
that, you know, Andrew Savage says it's always right. So that blows my mind. Because April 20th, I know, is your tribe mate Drew Christie's favorite day of the year.
That's true. That is
his favorite day of the year.
And Alec.
Yes, and Alec Christie also favorite day of the year as well. So I thought it was because it was your birthday, but I guess it's for some other reason. Does that freak you out at all to be 40?
No, I feel good. I feel younger than 40, you know? So, I mean, I don't want to play at 39. Like, I don't feel like I'm ready to play at 39.
39 days.
Yeah, I'm not ready. Okay. But I don't think – so I'm not going to be ready at 40 or 45, you know what I mean? But – like, you know,
you're not
I would
ready
do
at 45, Jeremy. I don't know how long the show's going to be on the air.
I feel young, though. How do you feel? You feel old?
No, I don't feel old. I hope I don't look too old, but no, I don't feel old. But you know, I'm not dying to go play Survivor either.
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I feel like my body is getting older, but I feel like I still feel pretty young. You know what I mean? I got to be young. I got two infants. You know, I got to stay young.
Yeah. No, but I think that if you go and the older you play, I think that helps you also. People are like, don't worry about old man Collins.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you? Because I think you guys were talking about it a couple weeks ago. I'm big into... I would go in and I would lose weight and go in like on an empty, like I would fast before I go because I felt so good the first couple of days when everybody's so hungry. And I'm like I'm used to this. I'm used to going off of, you know, 500 calories a day. You know what I mean? And I didn't have much to burn and lose, but like, I felt like I could still compete and I was still fine. But you don't feel like that, right? You feel like you got to eat.
Yeah,
and get,
I always say that you want to like put on fat and then have fat to lose. Yeah, fat to burn. So you're not
But what does that do? Like, so does when you're burning fat, is that you're not really, that's not helping you in your energy and physically, right? That's just
I think it does. I think because you have energy to burn. I mean, that's what like the fat is. It's just like, you know, your body is like hiding away all these calories. It's like, you know, having like a bank account. It's like if your money stops coming in, okay, I could live off what I have in the bank. I feel like that's what fat is when you're out there.
Is that true?
I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm not Dr. Mike over here. I'm just telling you that I feel like a lot of these people that end up quitting the game, like they don't have any body fat. You know, I feel like the people that, you know, have some weight on them, I feel like that they make a good adjustment to starving.
I mean, I like, what's the fit guy, the really fit guy? Is that Cole?
Yeah. And that's the guy that, remember, he fell down on the floor because he wasn't eating.
Yeah, but he...
How did you do that?
Yeah. he's like, I eat 8,000 calories normally every day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's eating a ton and to maintain where he's at. But if he, like, starts to cut down on those calories... Like he could go in and he would still look the same. You know, he might be a little bit leaner, but he would be his body would be able to.
But I think he needs to like stop lifting. Also, I think he just needs to like.
I don't know. So what I did though after my first before Cambodia before Nicaragua, I would work out and I wouldn't eat all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kind of like I trained myself to do that. Like I was like I got to be able to compete at a high level on nothing, eating nothing. I remember, like I would tell this story when I was going out there that there was one day that I ate a half of a half a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Like I took a sub, took half of it, cut that in half. And that's what I ate all day
for
36 hours. I didn't eat anything else except for that little thing.
Yeah.
And I went out to the gym and did like a double session. And, you know, I'm still doing everything regularly. And I was like, and by the second day, I was like, lightheaded and stuff like that. But I felt like I was, I was like, yo, I have to get myself ready for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think it's one size fits all. Also, whatever works for you. I mean, I always, you know, recommend to people to, you know, put on weight, but if you feel like that, you know, cutting it down is going to, you know, help you before you go out there, then if you know what works for you, then, you know, go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I thought there was going to be like a right answer to this. I wanted you to kind of
What do I know? I mean, you've gotten
to know
it
all.
Yeah. I just feel like that when I played the first time, I put on like 15 pounds of fat. Like I didn't think I was going to be on Survivor. I applied to be on Big Brother, and then I got a phone call in like a month before my season was going to start, and they called me and said, hey, do you want to be on Survivor? And then I went out to casting, and I'm like, okay, I'll just go like, you know, schmooze them, and then they'll put me on Big Brother next year. Then they were like, hey, great news, you're going to be on Survivor. I'm like, oh, get the and so I just like ate McDonald's for a month. Like, I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to like, you know, put muscles on in like, so let me just get, you know, put on as much weight so I don't die out there.
And so how did you feel?
I felt fine. You know, I felt a little bit, you know, like the first day or two was like an adjustment, but then overall I felt pretty good the whole way through.
Did you change it up the second time or?
No, I mean, I kind of didn't say I tried to, well, I had more time to prep. So I tried to put on more, more muscle. And that's why I'm so jacked in the second season that I played, but I got voted out much quicker. So I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know.
See, so the second time I played, I was like, I can't work out. Like I went in the first time and I had muscles and everything and people looking at me like, oh, we got to take him out. So I was like, I stopped working out.
Yeah.
Like, but I still wouldn't eat much. So I was just,
I was gaining a little sloppier. Mass. Yeah.
Yeah. I was smaller. And seeing Joe looked so huge to me and I felt like my shoulders were smaller and everything. And I said, this is perfect. This is where I need to be, you know?
No, that's smart. That's smart. Also. So train is hard, but don't eat, to make gains.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, you can't even train that hard though, because you know, if you can't go out there with all these muscles and then everyone come after you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe second chance, all-star season, they're not looking at you as like, as you know, if you have muscles, you're a physical threat. Maybe they're looking at it differently. I don't know.
Okay. There's a question from Garrett. We talked about you playing a third time. Would you rather play a third time or have Val go back for a second time? Does Val want to play again?
I think Val would play again. She was asked to play. She was asked to come out for which one was it? Was it what was that last All-Star
game
one?
Game Changers?
Yeah. She was asked to come out the Game Changers.
Wow.
Yeah. And she couldn't do it because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, that was always pregnant. You know what I mean?
lately.
Yeah. So she couldn't do it. But she said that she was going to, you know, she wanted to check it out, you know. So I think she would do it.
How would you feel about that? And then you come out and be the loved one.
Like I said before, like I needed something off of me after the first time. I said, I just need to get out there again because I have this stench of losing. And even if I lost the second time, it's all right because I needed to just get something off of me. And I'm like, I wanted Val to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't feel the same way about the game as I do. But I think that she feels like she left something out there and she didn't show her game. And I think Val's good, yo. Val's really, she has a awesome social game and she's smart. The girl, she has instincts, you know? So like, I think she would really do well.
And she almost pulled off saving herself in that episode where she got voted out, that she had, you know, a pretty smart move where ultimately, you know, she almost got, you know, John Rocker and I forget who else to change the vote around. It would have been a good move if Josh didn't sniff it out ultimately what she was trying to pull up. But does Val look at your win as a joint win? Does she take any sort of like pride in that? You know, that it wasn't just that you accomplished that we did that.
I don't know. When I came back, I said, Val, like the first thing I said was, Val, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. She better. She took half the money. You know what I mean? Like she better feel that way. But I don't know. I think that she was just there to support me. She knew that I needed to get through it again, you know, and she didn't care if I won or not. She just knew I was I still needed to get through something in my life, you know?
Yeah. And not to take anything away from you, but I feel like that, you know, that she, you know, supported you and, you know, yeah. Gave you the opportunity to go out there and yeah. play again, especially being that, that she was pregnant. I mean, she could have said like, hell, no way in hell.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do this. So I feel like yeah. that she should take some ownership in that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And I would love to, if she said she wanted to do it, I'd be
and
like,
leave you with those four kids, Jeremy.
Yeah, I know. But I would have to.
You better win if you're going to go play yes. a second time.
Because these kids are crazy.
Yeah, don't be wasting my time. I gotta watch these kids for 39 days. All right, this is from Dara, who wants to know, you use the idol to save Steven at the final nine to keep a bigger target in the game. Chrissy wanted to keep Ben at the final six with that same logic, and a lot of people think it was wrong because it was too late in the game to keep someone as dangerous as Ben. When should you decide to finally take out a big target that you're using as a shield?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because we had the same thing with Joe, and we had the same issue when I was like, I had the idol in my pocket, and when it was between Joe and Abby, and I told Joe like, I was trying to figure out what's going on and who's lying between him and Abby, and we were going in there and we were voting for Joe. And I said, if Joe convinces me that he's not lying, I will use this idol for him and I will save him. You know, I was kind of save happy anyways after I saved Fishback. So I was like, yo, who's next? I'm trying to save everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Keep me around. I'll save you too.
So Joe, and at that point, like, Joe did not convince me at all. I was like, Joe's lying. Like, Abby's like, I did not say this. And Abby's going back and forth with them. And I didn't get any feeling that Joe was telling me the truth. So I said, I'm not going to play for Joe. So I would have kept him there. What was it? That was like, I don't know, six or seven right there.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime after that, I think it's getting real dicey, you know, top six, five, like, you kind of want to get rid of the people that are.
I mean, look at Brad Culpepper last season. It's like they were going to potentially vote him out at eight. And then I think he went on and won four yeah. straight immunity challenges. Yeah, and, you know, Mike Holloway, too. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, you know, somebody at 10, it's like, well, he's not going to win, you know, all of them. But when you start to get down to like seven, it's like, well,
that's getting dicey. But you know what? So I was thinking, so Ben had the idol and, you know, he did all that and he's pointing to Mike to get rid of Mike. And I'm like, would I have gone after Devin right there? And I was like, maybe I think I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have. I think if I took out Devin and then there's five left. One, it'd be Ben, Chrissy, Mike, Ryan, and Ashley, right?
Right.
And five left. I think I would take my chances with that. If I could have, so at five, I would have taken him out.
Okay. This is a question from Kieran, who wants to know, does Ryan or Mike remind you of Spencer?
No. I mean, Spencer's like a nerd,
mm-hmm.
but Spencer's a pretty good athlete. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of immunity wins.
Yeah, he's no joke. And so they do not remind me of him.
Okay. Trevor Chong wants to know, is it a great strategy to align with the nerdier players? I don't know. To me, I do. I think that maybe Trevor is onto something here.
There's only one nerd that you really need to align with.
Who?
And that's Fishback.
Fishback.
Yes. If you ally with Fishback, you're his best guy,
yes,
or best girl, you win the game.
Yes.
That's the person to align with.
Yes. Well, that's why I hang out with him all the time. I'm waiting. I hang out with him all the time just so, and then I seem like a cooler alpha male.
Yeah, you see the big picture. You know, this is the master plan right there.
But I do think that there is something to that. If you feel like that somebody who you might, and I'm not talking about Steven, but if there's somebody that you feel like that, okay, like maybe like a Ryan, for instance, if you feel like, okay, well, he's somebody that, and I know that, you know, it's unclear really, you know, how much the jury is going to like him. But if you suspect there's a player who maybe you think that isn't going to be able to connect with the jury and they're like in need of a friend, like that person is potentially going to be very loyal to you. And then if you don't feel confident that they're going to be able to talk to the jury at the end of the game, it's a good person to stick with. Now, again, maybe you get burned by like a Cochran who was great in front of the jury, but it might not be the worst thing in the world to sort of like find, OK, who is the person who's really in need of a friend? Let me, you know, keep them close to me.
Well, more than that, like if you align with someone like that and you could bounce some ideas off of them and see where their head's at and see if they can, you know, if they get any information from other people and stuff like that. Because you always have it in the back of your mind that if I can't beat them in a challenge, like I don't deserve to win. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like if I could keep them around and I can get rid of them when I want, but I'm still using them to get some knowledge and bounce some ideas off of them and this and that. And then maybe they can't, they don't, you know, do well under pressure with the jury, you know, then, you know, I think it works out. So I could see that. I could see that being a good idea.
This is a question from Romaine from Twitter who wanted
Romaine,
to know.
Huh?
Yes. About having an alpha male this late in the game. Romaine says that the other people looked like they were intimidated by Ben. Are the other players left so scared of Ben that they're making bad moves? Is there anything to that, that they're so intimidated that they're playing badly?
No, I don't see that. I think this is just a first time player is just making some bad decisions here and there. But nobody's intimidated like that. I can't see that.
Okay. This is a question from Steve Chung, who wants to know, were you really going to donate all of your Candy Crush winnings to Woo?
So
now is that true?
Listen, this is so I said,
Candy Crush.
I said, I'm doing this for Woo. Like, that means I'm doing this so he can get some money for his wedding.
Okay.
I'm not giving him my money.
Okay.
I'm doing this for him.
Let's reset this because I want to talk about Candy Crush because, okay, so this was in the summer and CBS debuted the new reality series, Candy Crush, and it was Survivors versus Big Brother, and you were there representing the Survivors. You were partnered up with Woo. Also, Joey Amazing was partnered up with Kelly Wentworth. And then also from Big Brother, you also had Beast Mode Cowboy, who's a total turncoat, not even a survivor anymore. He was with Frankie Grande. And then Paul from Big Brother 90. Do you ever watch any Big Brother, Jeremy? Or you would never?
I tried once. Tried once. I can't do it. I tried this past season. And I really can't get into it.
Yes. And they let Paul out of the Big Brother house to go play Candy Crush. And then he was there with Davon. And so basically that if people didn't watch the amazing Candy Crush. So basically you had to play a little game and then you and Woo were like operating what you were like in a like a flying machine, like touching buttons on like a giant iPad.
Yeah. So which one are you talking about? When the first round?
I don't remember.
Because there was so many different rounds. It's like there was you play on a little board to get to to pick a big board. And then like you had like a joystick and you're moving around. And the first time I had a giant finger and I had to swipe it. It's tough to explain. And that's why it was so tough to watch that part.
Did you listen to the podcast we did recapping Candy Crush?
Oh, I did listen to that. You guys are ripping it apart. You guys were killing it. I was like, yo, it was so fun. I was like, this. If you guys played it, you guys would have saw it a whole differently. It was so fun. But the rules and stuff, it's a lot of talking and setting up for the rules. It is tough to watch, but it's so fun to play. It was awesome.
That was one of my favorite podcasts we did the whole year when we talked about Candy Crush.
You guys are ripping it.
So how's life over there in the Leader's Lounge?
It feels delicious.
Feels divine.
Feels divine. Nice.
Oh, my God.
That was great. You know, and we didn't even talk to you from when you went on the Survivor Price is Right.
No, we didn't. Jeez, it's been a long time. Huh, I know.
Wow. You're too busy having kids and going on game shows.
Yeah, I didn't do too well in that. Every time I play these games, you know who they put me up against? Joe. Yeah. Like really? Can they put me on something without Joe sometimes?
Yeah, you didn't even get out of contestants row on the Survivor Price is Right, right?
No, Price is Right. We were so close. I was with the one kid that I can't even remember his name. What was his name?
Matthew.
Matthew.
Yes.
Yeah, he was he said he needed a new car, and then the next thing that came up was a new car. I was like, "Yo, we're going to get you that car, man. Let's go get this." And we were at one point we wanted to say a dollar over and we should have said $1, and then the other time we said a dollar and we should have said a dollar over. Like, we were so close a bunch of times. And then one time I think Kelly or somebody said a dollar more than us, and they got it. I was like, come on.
You were right there.
You were right there. You were so close.
So you had a recent encounter with another survivor recently. How did you run into Papa Bear?
Oh, yeah. So I'm flying back from the Patriots game in Miami, and like I saw a couple cops that I know from Boston in the airport. So we're all sitting around talking. We're standing in the middle of the airport talking, you know, and he walked by me and I said, I know that dude. And I said to the guys, I was like, that dude was on Survivor. And I yell out, Papa Bear. Like I'm in the middle of the airport yelling out, Papa Bear. Like, yeah. What do I look like? You know? So then, and he keeps walking. He must not have heard me. So then I walk over and I can hear him talking and I'm like, that's him. And he walked up to one of the counters and he was talking to the lady and I walked up next to him and I said, you're Papa Bear, right? And he's like, yes. And he looked at me and he's like, oh my God. And I'm like, and he couldn't believe I recognize him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course I recognize you. Like, I watch Survivor. You know what I mean? Like,
Jeremy, it's me, Papa Bear.
It was kind of cool. Like, I was talking to him. We talked for like 45 minutes or something like that. And that was cool. He was trying to get on the same flight as us.
Yeah. And did he know your friends that were cops that you were talking to?
He did not. And they did not know him. He asked one of my buddies. He's like, hey, do you guys treat him differently or anything? And they looked at him like, are you kidding me? Like, none of these dudes care about Survivor. You know what I mean? Like, these guys could care less about that stuff, man.
Jeremy, nobody cares. Trust me. Nobody cares.
That is a terrible, terrible Papa Bear, by the way. That is almost as bad as Spencer.
What? You were talking about when Spencer did impressions in the Mr. Survivor competition.
Oh, that was painful.
I watched when you and I talked back in the Mr. Survivor competition to get ready to again with it. This is so we are doing this interview late in the day. So normally if I was talking to you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, I wouldn't have time to go and watch all these old clips. But I was really did like a deep dive into.
Oh, that's good then. That's yeah. Good. So now anytime I'm coming on, we're going late at night. This is good.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about? I was watching that. I was watching San Juan del Sur clips today. Yeah, I was trying to, you know, load up on, you know, all your highlight reels.
Give me something from San Juan del Sur. Give me something that you remember or something. Give me something.
I'm trying to think. So I was watching, scrolling through the different clips. Let's talk about Surround and Drown.
Oh, God.
I was watching. You were talking about to Alec Christie, and you were talking about how in the fire department that you guys were would do like Surround and Drown to go, you know, try to put out a fire.
Yeah,
That didn't work with Alec Christie. Do you feel like Surround and Drown an effective strategy?
Surround and Drown, I think, could be a very effective strategy. But when a fire is so out of control, then there's just no hope. Like, just let it burn, you know. And that's what Alec Christie was. You just have to let it burn.
And you said he was
that's effective.
Yeah, you said he was just like his brother. He was just like he was like a little Drew. Can you give us one good Drew Christie story that we didn't get to see on the show?
Oh my God! All right, Oh, so Drew, there was at one point, like, Drew's laying in the shelter and he was supposed to go for a walk, you know. And for those that don't know, a walk is you go and talk to the production and you do your little one-on-one conversations. You know, that's where you tell your story, you know, mm-hmm. and tell your strategy. So he was supposed to go for a walk and he told them no.
So basically, I'm a badass.
So what did he do? He just wanted to go to sleep?
He just wanted to hang out and chill out.
Yeah.
And so then I think it was Nat that came up to me and said something like, he's not going. So I went over there. I'm like, what's up, yo? You ain't going? I'm like, yo, you have to go. Like, that's what we're here for. You need to tell your story. And he was like pissed that they were bothering him when he was trying to relax. And, you know, he was tired and this and that. And I'm like, yo, you got to go, man. So he grabbed his stuff and he started to go. And they said, we're all set. No, we're good.
So they dissed him. They didn't want to hear from him then.
Yes, they did.
So we got robbed of Drew Christie confessionals because of that.
Yes, yes, we did. I said, that's not a good sign. When they don't want to talk to you, that is not a good sign, man.
It's not
you
got
to tell your story. This is what we're here for, you know?
Yeah, that's not great. And you and Val came into San Juan del Sur. You guys were so hyped up. You had to compete against each other in the first challenge. It seemed like that you and Val weren't on the same page at the start of that game.
No, so it's my fault. Like, so even on day zero, so they let you... They let you sit and they ask you what you think about everybody. And so I'm telling her about Rocker. I'm telling her, you know, don't trust this person. Don't trust that person. I don't trust any of these people. But, you know, maybe work with these people. And so she takes that. And because this is my dream and this is everything that I want to do in this is what I want to do in life, you know, in my adult mm-hmm. life. This is all I want. And so she's like, I'm going with what he says. And, you know, everybody knows that's played that you might go in thinking a certain way and then the next day you got to change it all up or something could happen. And, you know, that person that you didn't trust yesterday, that's the person you have to go with today. And she couldn't do that because all she wanted to do was help me get to my dream. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So if she didn't listen to me, she would have worked with Rocker. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like there was it was my bad. Like I came out and even the first challenge, like I'm like, we gotta, they're putting me out for Rocker right now. Like, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even think, like I hit the ground running. Like I'm ready to play.
Like they needed a volunteer. You were that volunteer. And then they said, guess what? You're going to play against your loved one.
Yeah. And it wasn't like totally like that, but it was basically like, I could have been like, no, I'm all set. But I was like, because Kelly was like looking at me. It was Drew was like, oh, everybody's looking at me. And Kelly was like, no, we're not. Like, hold on. And then I'm like, all right, Kel, I got this. You know what I mean? This is me. This is me. And like I was ready to roll and I shouldn't have done that. I should have like slow played it.
Yeah. I know you played so much better on your second season. But that San Juan del Sur, I think, is a really fun season.
It was all right.
It's fun to watch. It's a fun season to watch. There's so many oddballs in that season. I mean, you guys kept losing the Flint and having to make trades.
Yeah. I thought it was a good cast. I thought it was. You know, I don't know. It was all right. It was tough to play with some of them people that didn't want to play.
I get it. But just to get the TV show, there's a lot of fun stuff there. All right, Jeremy, what are you guys doing for the holidays? Anything good?
I'm working Christmas Eve. I know that.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, we're just hanging out. You know, make a turkey or something like that.
I don't know.
We'll just hang out. I'm so into this, like I'm in a good place right now, Rob. Like I feel like I got my four kids. Like when I went to Miami, I missed them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like Val sent me a picture. I was like, man, I just want to be home. You know, like I just want to hang with them. That's all I want to do. I'm in a really good place in my life, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's really so fantastic. And I was saying at the beginning of the show that, you know, it really, that this is like this amazing, you know, story that you guys have, you know, you basically like had this whole parenthood of raising daughters. And now you have like this whole like second parenthood of raising these two sons that are close in age.
Yeah. Everybody thinks, like, you know, I talk to people and I tell them I have two daughters that are older and two sons that are young, and they all think I'm like
second marriage.
In my second marriage, yeah. You know what I mean? So this is funny. I used to talk to Savage all the time about having daughters when we were out on the island. Like, we're talking about daughters, and now I have a whole nother life. You know, it's awesome. I'm going to see Savage too.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to see Savage in January. I'm going to hang out with him for a couple. Probably a good week, yeah.
Wow, a week with Savvy up in San Francisco?
In San Francisco,
and what are you guys going to do all week?
I don't know. So I'm going out there because I'm getting surgery on my eyes and that like LASIK or something like that. Or PR, it's called PRK.
Yeah.
But I'm going out there to get surgery done. And I'm going to hang out with him all week. It's going to be awesome.
Okay. So you're going to have the surgery there and then you're going to recuperate at the Savage house?
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to hang out. He's going to drink red wine and I'm going to drink tequila. So.
Wow, that sounds like a crazy party.
This is going to be awesome. I love Sav. Sav's my guy.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that you're so tight with all these different people you played with, Jeremy.
I am. It's like, I don't know. Like, there's some good people on this show. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good people, even in Boston. Like, you know, we hung out with like Michelle a couple times and Brett, and like, it's a lot of good people around. Like, this show is awesome. It brings people together.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, I'm trying to get out to the by you and do one of these live shows out there.
Are you going
to
do it?
It's on my podcast bucket list.
Yeah, you got to do it. And Fish is out here. So he's already here.
Yeah.
You know? Fish does not live 20 minutes from me.
And like, do you ever see him?
We see each other. Like, we go for lunch, like, maybe I'd say once a month, maybe once every other month.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. You know, we talk all the time.
Like, well, Jeremy, I was in Austin with him, and I love getting to hang out with Steven. It's like one of the highlights of these trips is going to hang out with him, and I want to have breakfast with him in the morning and, you know, drink coffee and talk about everything that's going on. And he stood me up for breakfast the last time because he said he had to go. Oh, I heard there's a place that's 20 minutes away that has the best pancakes in Austin.
Why didn't you go to it?
I have too much stuff to do when we have these trips. I have a lot of stuff going on. And I didn't want to spend an hour commuting for pancakes. But have you ever had this is the worst pancake I've ever had? If it's cold, if it's out for an hour, why do you have to go travel for a pancake? Every pancake is the same.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, like if he said like a steak or something like that, I get it.
He wanted tacos but I need to go get these pancakes from this place. I'd rather have the worst pancake and have a nice breakfast with him. And then he's like, no, I need to go get these special pancakes.
Did he tell you how good the pancake was?
Oh, he took a picture of it and then sent it to me.
Just rub it in.
Yeah. And you know what? No, I said I stayed at the hotel. I had a perfect pancake. It was a great pancake. I didn't have to go anywhere. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on with me. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are, so it means a lot to me when you make the time to talk this stuff through. People want to follow you on Twitter at Jeremy2Collins.
Yeah, the number two.
Okay. Is that the same for Insta?
I think it's the same for everything. Check my Insta, though. Like, I don't even do that, really. But, you know, like, I think it's the same for that. For Facebook, it's different. It's Jeremy Collins or something. But the only thing I'm really doing is, like, Twitter. I'm on Twitter all the time.
You're on Twitter. Okay. Tweeting away. Do you have a hashtag for today, Jeremy?
Oh, God. Oh, I don't know. Jeez, I'm just rambling on. What do you think?
Let me think. We talked about everything going on Survivor. Talked about.
I don't know. You're on your own on this, brother. Can't help you.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about?
What?
Fantasy football, baby.
Look, I don't even. Why? How'd you do? Good.
What do you mean? How did I do? I'm still in it.
You're still in it. Okay.
I'm still in it. I mean, we're in the same league.
Yeah. No, I know. Rob has a podcast fantasy football league. I have a lot of issues with what's going on over there.
Why? What's wrong with it?
It's crazy. It's 20 teams. It's the Wild West out there in the 20 team league.
But it's crazy. But it's fun when you're in the final four.
sure. Yeah. That in my keeper league that I've played in for a long time, I'm in the final four. The big weekend coming up.
All right. That's good. Okay. I'm in seven leagues, by the way.
Yeah.
It's madness.
Yeah. You're crazy into it.
I'm playing Johnny Fairplay in this.
You're going to win?
I don't know. Wentz went down. That hurt, yeah. Man. But, I feel pretty good. My team's pretty solid, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I think I'm still favored to win, but
forget those. Even the real NFL. Forget the any given Sunday fantasy. Yeah. It's like
it makes me feel better. If the books say I'm going to win, it makes me feel better.
Yeah, and then if you lose, you say, "Hey, look, it said I was going to win." I mean, I don't know.
No, then I just go cry in my pancakes
with Steven. All right, what about hashtag?
Hashtag
sugar crush? No, you don't like that?
Oh.
Okay.
All right, just do it. Whatever.
Hashtag sugar crush. Okay. All right. Well, Jeremy, best to you and Val and, the whole family. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, brother. Give the fam my love, man. Give Nicole and the boys my love.
Okay. All right. Jeremy, thank you so much. Okay.
Hey, no problem. This is awesome.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The always fun Jeremy Collins back here on the podcast. Talk through everything going on in his world, in the Survivor world. And we are getting ready to get into our feedback show coming up with Mike Bloom. If you're listening to this podcast before Saturday afternoon Eastern time, you could still get your feedback into the show. Go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP, or email survivor@robiswebsite.com. We're working on a lot of stuff for the voicemail show. I think that this should be a really jam-packed voicemail show coming up with Mike. If you're looking for any of those holiday gift ideas, robhasawebsite.com/gifts. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre putting this all together on the quick turnaround for you guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.